The Diabetic Show. My name is Mark Phil with Type 1. Since Cyndi Lauper packed the room.
I'm Dobie Maxwell, Type 2. I'm too young to know who Cyndi Lauper is. I will take it that she was a pop culture icon back in the old days.
I'm sure your mother hummed her biggest hits to you in the crib.
Welcome to the Diabetic Show. We have another week of interest and information for you.
We're well into the double-digit shows, so we can pretty much coast on this one.
I think we are. We've been doing it since...
Ever.
11 shows ago.
Already. Yeah. Sometimes it seems like 12.
We also are online. That internet thing is no stranger to us.
TheDiabeticShow.com. We have a Facebook presence. I'm not sure how you get there. I guess you go to Facebook, you put in The Diabetic Show, and magically you are transported.
Up we come. You can also communicate with us, too, on our website. He is Mark at TheDiabeticShow.com.
And Dobie at TheDiabeticShow.com. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to you. Appreciate the interest. And we do have interest,
Dobie. We do have questions. We do have interest, and we're making a difference.
Got to tell you, walking out of a... Oh, we'll give him a free plug. Meyer's Foods.
Okay.
Saw a woman with a Dexcom 4 on her arm, proudly displaying, if you're not familiar, that's one of those CGM, continuous glucose monitor devices. And first off.
Like Emily Swanson had, our guest.
Yeah, we've had a few people, and we've discussed the subject matter. Mm-hmm. It's a great instrument. It's the future, the cutting edge of the future. You're getting a diabetic reading, or at least a glucose reading, every 3 minutes, I believe. Throughout the day.
Did you approach this person?
Yes. And you know me. I'm very antisocial.
Yes, you are.
But I felt drawn to this woman. Uh-huh. And I, to be quite frankly, I think she was put off for the first couple of seconds when I kind of reached out to her when I was talking. We should really not do that.
Yeah, they should cage you up like they're dunk tanks.
It's probably the eyes. But yes, very happy with it. Because right after Dexcom 4, you bring that up. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, Dobie.
So you knew the terminology, so you weren't some freak. What's that thing on your arm? I'm Dr. Frankenstein.
And the aluminum hat, it drew me to it.
Yeah, the tinfoil hat, the cheese head, right.
But I'm telling you, if you can identify a Dexcom 4, mm-hmm. and you're a single gentleman, Dobie.
Sure.
You are in a singles bar. You see somebody with that Dexcom 4 on the arm, that's an icebreaker.
So what did she say? What did you say?
She loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Mm-hmm. Did they give her funny tan lines?
Interestingly, yes. But then again, she
has her blood sugar, you know, the tan lined, you know, 104.
Here's the thing, which I thought was amazing. Each unit, you kind of insert it, for lack of a better word. There's an apparatus that sticks in your arm and holds there. But she had this almost like a surgical gauze tape around the unit, holding it in place to her skin. And apparently, before then, you could only get maybe 6 or 7 days before the tape would wear out.
Sure.
It came with the Dexcom, and then you'd pop on another one. But for this young lady, with this tape, it bought her another 4, 5, 6 days of that same unit. Mm-hmm. And like anything, they should almost give the meter away and just nail you on the strips, because that's where you're really bleeding hard in the wallet. But apparently to her, cut her costs back like 40% just with the right tape.
Nice.
So there you go. And believe it or not, Dobie, she has not heard about our show.
Well, now she has. Yeah. You didn't tell her?
Yeah, I gave her a card.
Okay.
Still, she gave me that look on the way out, kind of like, you know, the card. I don't think she has that card any longer.
I think the police department, the authorities have it.
Everything is alleged until you're convicted.
Dusting it for your prints.
That is true. Let's go to the news, though.
Please do.
Interesting. Diabetic in general, being a diabetic, apparently to this... Leeds research study, if you have the diabetes, you're 58% larger odds of dying of a heart attack. Surprise.
Okay.
Researchers at the Leeds, what they did was, and this was a long-term study, 10 years, 700,000 people, about 121,000 had some type of a diabetic thing going on. Mm-hmm. And apparently there's two types of heart attacks. I'm sure you know or not.
Fatal and non-fatal.
A hit or a non-hit. The big people who went to school those years, they called them STEMI and STEMI heart attacks, either a full coronary blockage or partial coronary blockage.
Fred Sanford, I'm coming to join you, honey.
Exactly.
Elizabeth.
Yes. So
the grabber.
Bottom line, if you're looking at a total blockage, the STEMI heart attack, 56% more likely to die than a non-diabetic. And if you're just a partially blocked, it's only a 36% increase of dying.
All right. I'm trying to bring good news, man. I'm
trying to give you the half full. I really am, Dobie.
So I'm circling the drain and the big light comes from the other world, I could say, boy, 56%, I did it.
And you better hope, because I've been in that tunnel, and that light at the end of the tunnel, It's a TV playing Oprah 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for eternity.
I always thought it was a train coming at you.
And it was rather warm. Weird. Anyway, as far as the study, Dr. Christopher Gates, he's the associate professor at this School of Medicine, Leeds. The results provide effective evidence that diabetes is a significant long-term illness to the body.
Sure.
You know, you see what I mean? It's one of those studies where, okay, we're going to die. We're going to die significantly younger than most. It's just... if you're a type 1. Type 2s, like Dobie, you die, but in a slightly different way.
Okay, what would that possibly
be? Well, for you, I don't know.
Trying to stop a bank robbery?
I think I would...
Hitting on some woman coming out of a store with a 0.4 XCON sugar meter on her?
I would think for you, you would have a very dynamic death. Something.
Yeah, I'll fall asleep at the wheel in a bumper cars.
Ooh. But you have to be
state
wet.
Fair.
Got to be wet.
I take a head on, my neck will snap like a pencil holding up a bowling ball.
Okay, so we have one study down. Really didn't tell me much. Now this one is rather interesting. It comes out with men. They did a sleep study over 10 years, 700 people. Who is this? The Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism. Here's the thing. If you're a man, you get 7 hours of sleep. You're fine.
Who gets 7 hours of sleep in this day and age? Seriously. But very unrealistic, sir.
If you're on either side of that, too much sleep, not enough sleep, your chances to get diabetes come up significantly.
It's like 659 and 701?
It's interesting. It's very interesting that if you don't get the proper amount of sleep, your body is less resistant to insulin. And all sorts of bad things can happen after that. Now, the part of the study, which is kind of interesting, it only affects men. Mm-hmm. Only men. Women, well, I mean, I suppose you can gag on that all you want, Dobie, but the point of it being...
Sorry, a little popcorn kernel there.
See, 25 years experience shining through. Mm-hmm. Why men, but not women?
I don't know.
I was hoping you'd have a nice punchline for that.
I had no punchlines whatsoever.
Empty.
So women can sleep as much or as little as they want?
And they're, well, I don't know if they're fine. But, the bottom line is if you're a woman, you can sleep however you want. They kind of tied into sleep apnea, men, you know, being the weaker sex, stuff like that.
I'm still hung up on the 7 hours. I don't know anybody that gets 7 hours these days.
What are you with? What are you going?
Sometimes I wake up at 4 a.m. Sometimes I go to bed at 4 a.m. Whatever hope I had of having a normal life is gone 20 years ago. I'm hoping the UFO comes down and I get examined with the big green finger, because anything close to regularity is gone.
And that reminds me, I saw that Craigslist ad. Very, very creative.
Yeah,
it worked
up to
out.
The third knuckle. We've got a special guest on the show.
It's oral and diabetes and you. We actually have somebody who knows about things like that. And we'll tell you all the things you need to know. Dentally yours on this edition of the Diabetic Show. We'll take the break, come right back. And also we'll be talking about dentists and fear. The Diabetic Show. Mark Philwett, type 1.
Dobie Maxwell, type 2. Welcome back.
And we'd like to also welcome in our special guest, Susan Sullivan. She's a registered dental hygienist at Northwestern Dental Group, Park City, Niles, Arlington Heights. Sue, thank you for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
We kind of touched it as we were going into the break. Fear in dentistry. The phobia. The latest stats say 9 to 12% of Americans have a deadly fear of dentists. 15% in Great Britain, which we've discussed, makes a lot of sense if you've seen the pictures. What do you attribute dental fear to, and how do you handle it being on the other side of that fear when people are looking at you?
Well, you know, you just have to educate people on what you're going to do. if you're going to start a procedure, if you explain everything from start to finish, usually they start to feel more at ease with what's going to be happening.
Does that always work?
No, it doesn't always work.
And then you haul out that needle, so the size of a Buick Electra. And that's the thing. It's the conditioned response. I don't know what it is. Since I was a kid, oh, this will only hurt a bit as they go through the back of your head and it comes out the middle right by your eye, and looks like your shish kebab. Then I know it's not that bad, but it grows on you. I have one of those fears. The 9%, I'm there.
Now, did you have a bad experience?
Yeah, I had a Dr. Fritchie, and Dr. Fritchie was German, and the Germans aren't known for their hugs and their warmth and their petting a little puppy. And Dr. Fritchie, I think he had tools that are banned in the Nuremberg peace trials, if there were in those. I was a little kid, and he went and ripped out teeth, and I would scream, come on, shh, 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 shh.
That
hurts.
That reminds me, Troy McDonald, producer of The Other Side of the Glass, we do have this on... The show's on a 3-hour delay, right, in case... Okay.
Oh, Dr. Fritch has got to be dead. He was old when I was a kid, and I'm old. Yeah, he's got to be
one
long
gone. One lawsuit, right past.
But I'm saying, no, seriously, it starts as a kid, and it just, I have nightmares about it. I don't want to go.
That's usually the problem. Mine was a Dr. Toshis. And when he would look over me, and first you got that dynamic of you're in that seat way back, and he's... pounding on something in my mouth. He had no, and then like a droplet of perspiration fell off of him. He's working so hard on my mouth. That was it. The minute that drop of perspiration hit me in the forehead, I'm not going back. You can't make me go back. Apparently pain makes you go back. At least that's how I met Sue, actually, years back. It was pain. And you actually did alleviate the pain, which was nice.
I'm glad I could do that for you.
And also letting me know that there was really no choice. that also helped, too, in the soundproof rooms. Okay, maybe I'm going a little far in the soundproof rooms. But you do a great job of making people feel at ease.
Thank you. I work really hard at that.
Where do you make the correlation between diabetics and non-diabetics when they're in your chair? Something you look for separately? I know whenever I see you there, you can tell right away how my sugars have been by the way my gums are acting.
That's exactly right.
How?
You can tell by the level of inflammation, and because I've been seeing you for so many years, I know when you're better controlled and when you're not under control.
What happens when a diabetic is running high in sugars?
Generally, they have more inflammation, more swelling, bleeding, more reactivity in the tissue, even when there's very little plaque in that area.
How often, I know... As often as you're supposed to, 3 months, they say, but so many insurance policies don't cover 3 month cleaning. Is it a matter of just getting in as often as you can, and when I don't see you, the old floss after meals?
Well, your home care is essential. You know, brushing, flossing, and maybe using even an antimicrobial rinse.
Stop. What is that?
Antimicrobial rinse?
Yes.
Well, a lot of people like over-the-counter products.
Jack Daniels? Does that qualify?
Something alcohol-y? Alcohol. Well, now
Scope.
I've read alcohol is bad. I've read if you use a mouthwash with alcohol, you're risking all sorts of bad things because of the alcohol in the mouth. True?
One of the things that alcohol does is it can cause your mouth to be dry. It can dry out your mouth. And as a diabetic, you can already have dry mouth problems.
Explain that, because I don't feel that I have a dry mouth, but... Obviously, it makes clicky sounds at times. Is that what we're talking about by dry, where it's less moist than it should be?
Less salivary flow.
That's the key. Okay. Because it helps wash the bad guys away.
Exactly.
Ah, beautiful. Dub. I could see.
No, I'm just listening. I'm learning.
Oh, okay. Because you still get that look. You get that look.
I was thinking about bad dentists. They have good dentists, too. I had a Mexican dentist, Dr. Rodriguez, and he was really cool. You know, he had that little mirror he looks in your mouth. He had little fuzzy dice hanging from it.
See, that's cool.
Yeah.
Because you got to get the mind off of what you're doing.
Yeah, there's good and bad. So I'm listening to what Sue says to try to get better.
Excellent. What are some of the bad things you've seen in a patient's mouth? As long as you don't mention the patient by name, I think we can get through this.
Well, it's always unfortunate as a child. You were saying you had fears as a child.
Oh, yeah.
Usually it comes from when they haven't been to the dentist ever and their very first experience.
And you're 47. Yeah.
Yes. Seriously, people who've never, how old?
Well, you're a 4 or 5 year old or a 6 year old, and your first experience is going to the dentist when you're in pain rather than just a general checkup, that's where a lot of the fears come from. So
for me, it was the opposite. The intensive pain alleviated the fear because it couldn't be any worse than what I was already feeling by sitting there. So worked out well.
Well, then you had a good dentist who took good care of you.
See how that works. Tell me a little bit more about diabetes and dentistry. I mean, it just seems I've got so much more to do, especially when I have to worry about things like dentistry. I know when it comes to tooth loss, greater chances of tooth loss being a diabetic. What are we looking at? 300%?
Right. Well, about a third of the people with diabetes have severe periodontal disease.
Meaning you're going to lose teeth?
Most likely you're going to lose enough bone and attachment that the teeth are going to become loose and they'll have to be removed.
And that's when the heavy-duty equipment comes into play.
That's right.
So basically it's a matter of Dobie cleaning his teeth 3 times a year, religiously, and he'll be fine.
Well, you won't always be fine. You do have to control your sugar levels because that increases your tendency to get inflammation.
Yeah.
And makes it.
It all boils down to the sugar levels, doesn't it?
It really does. You have to control the sugars so that your inflammatory response is going to be lessened.
So it is a relatively simple matter of keeping your blood sugars in check.
Now, can we go crazy if we don't take care of our teeth? A lot of people don't. Is it more dangerous for a diabetic not to do it?
It's very dangerous for a diabetic not to take care of their teeth because there's a very clear relationship between the degree of hyperglycemia and the severity of periodontitis.
Okay, now that was our vocabulary word last week.
That's right. Hyper high glycemic levels.
And the word you use is
periodontitis, which is perio is around, donto is dental, itis is inflammation of.
Any itis is just generally a bad thing. So it works that way. Now, as far as the levels, and you're saying hyper, anything over 120 or your A1C, over into the sevens, that's when you're starting to see this type of buildup?
Well, everybody's going to get buildup. It's how well you control that buildup and how well you can control the inflammation associated with that buildup. So if your sugar levels are high, then you're going to be more likely to become inflamed by the same amount of bacteria.
Does it matter what you eat?
Well, I'm assuming any diabetic is going to have trouble if they eat too much sugar.
Ooh, but it tastes so good.
It does.
Yeah, it really does.
Definitely an issue.
So the diabetics, a normal person, I hate to use that term, could eat the same thing and have less damage.
Exactly.
So unfair, isn't it?
Right.
Boy, okay.
3 times more likely if you're diabetic.
Three times. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, what about plaque and heart disease? Is there correlation?
You have
plaque in your teeth? Do you have plaque in your blood?
Well, the inflammatory response in the mouth, they've shown that same bacteria is what they're finding in the lining of the blood vessel walls.
So literally, the same makeup.
That's some of the studies have shown that.
Wow. And then we're back to those STEMI and NSTEMI things, which are just generally not a good thing. So works out that way. Let's take the break here, okay, Troy? We'll come back. We still have to touch more about fear, how you alleviate some fear, and there are a few other general diabetic oral health questions for Susan Sullivan. She's the RGH from Northwestern Dental Group. And thanks for coming out there and appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back. The Diabetic Show. Mark Philwood, type 1.
Dobie Maxwell, type 2. Thank you for joining us.
And across the glass, we have Troy McDonald. Once again, Troy, thank you so much. He keeps the track of things. And sometimes we get distracted.
As he eats gummy bears and ding-dongs, just showing us up because he can.
You notice that. Yeah, one sticks in the tooth accidentally.
Because he has perfect health, and we're jealous, but that's okay. We're here for the people that aren't perfect, the people that have to fight this horrible disease. And Susan Sullivan, sorry about that. I want to call you by your friendly name. Do you have a radio name if you were in radio? Do you have a name that you'd be?
Ricky O'Shea.
What? Ricky O'Shea. Why would you be Ricky O'Shea?
Because when I'm cleaning Mark's teeth, and I'm squirting water, sometimes it ricochets, so it's Ricky O'Shea.
Ricky O'Shea. Okay.
See, it works. It works for me.
So if someone wants to Google you after your appearance on our show for fives of listeners.
I don't know that I'd be on Google quite yet, but, you know, it's a could be a following.
Let's talk Northwestern Dental Group. You've been there
22 years.
Tell us a little bit about the place.
I work in the Park City location.
And you're over what? Niles, Arlington Heights?
In Park City.
In Park City, okay.
And we have a number of dentists in the various locations. Right now, Dr. Mulvaney is in the Park City location several days a week. We have Dr. Corey. She's been with us about a year. She's there 4 to 5 days a week. And we have Dr. Nanavati, who comes to our office a couple of times a week. He does a lot of the root canal treatment for our office.
The big guns.
So now you guys have a theme of making it non-terrifying. Well, I'm very serious about that, because if listeners want to go, we don't want to send them into, obviously, here for a reason. We want to make people go to a safe place that they can feel at home, because we joke about it, but it can be very intimidating for people.
Well, I try very hard to make it comfortable for people. Mm-hmm. I, you know, put numbing gel on their gums if mm-hmm. their tissues are sensitive. I give them different options, make things more comfortable for them. So,
good.
What I liked most when I first met Sue, mm-hmm. and get you down in the chair, she didn't make that alarming look when she first looked at my teeth. You know, and some people have that, what's the word I'm looking for? Disgust. You know,
I've seen your teeth. Looks like a vandalized graveyard when you open your mouth.
At times and only in black light. But the point is, she made me feel like I had an average mouth. And I thought that was nice of her.
Last time I saw a mouth like that, it had a hook in it.
Oh, Rodney, he'll be here most of the week in the prime rib. Delectable. So, Northwestern Dental Group. You've been there for 25 or 23. It's been
a while. I've been there for a while.
So you know how to spot people that are diabetic and that aren't.
I can tell if something is not right with their general health, with what's happening in their mouth. The mm-hmm. mouth is really the barometer of your body. So things will manifest in the mouth first.
Okay. So we can't fool you. You can say we floss. People, you know, you floss every day, and you can open up your mouth like the hood of a car. You know, I haven't changed my oil. My oil's like peanut butter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So do people give you the old, brush and floss all the time?
No.
Oh, really?
No. Usually the most common response is, I don't floss as often as I should.
Which means never.
Semi-confessional.
Which means you could put floss in there and bring out a whole entire Oreo cookie. Just, there it comes.
Hopefully not. Double
stuff.
What is the etiquette the day of a tooth cleaning? I'm going to go in for the tooth cleaning. What don't I eat earlier that day so I don't disgust you later on?
You can eat anything you want, but please brush your teeth before I see you so that I can determine if you're doing an adequate job.
Ah. So there have been times.
Some people like to save it.
I could see that.
Now, stupid. Is there a certain way that a diabetic should brush? Or obviously, I'll say three times a day. And is it twice, three times? How many are supposed to do it?
Well, I think you should brush at least twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
Try to floss your teeth at least once a day.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of extra things people can do with mouthwashes, interdental brushes.
Interdental brush. What is that?
Those are those little tiny brushes that we can use between the teeth.
Oh, okay.
And every person's a little bit different. So that's why you see a dental professional to help guide you to the right type of products that you should use for your mouth.
Well, I noticed you like those little brushes with the kind of a wire and so right. They kind of move around. You don't like the plastic guys.
No.
Why is that?
I like something with a little bit more flexibility.
Because I for a while was using those plastic tips, and it was great at getting things out, but
sometimes they cause damage if you're not using it properly.
So it's a matter of that.
Oh, right.
And replacing your toothbrush, how often? How often now, they say?
I say every 3 months, or if you're sick. If you've had any kind of a virus, you should just toss that toothbrush.
I usually boil it, use it again. That's just me. I'm thrifty.
Yeah, that's true. What about rubbing the gums with them? I remember for years they used to have the little rubber tips. How do they work?
Rubber baby
bumpers. Rubber tip is really for recontouring the tissue. It's not for cleaning your teeth.
What is it?
It's for recontouring the tissue.
Just rubbing?
Well, there's a special way they have to be used. And again, if you come to my office, I'll show you exactly how to use it properly.
Conveniently located, by the way, Park City, Arlington Heights, in Niles, Northwestern Dental Group. And I've met Dr. Mulvaney, obviously. Great guy. He does a lot of implants as well, correct?
Yes.
Is that as big of a deal as it used to be? Because I know when it first came out, it was a huge hullabaloo to get it all done. It seems like really streamlined the technique and the processes.
It's very much like any other procedures that people have now. It's like having, heart bypass. The first time somebody had heart bypass, it was a very big production.
Zipper chest.
The outcome was not as predictable. Now with the implants, the outcome is much more predictable.
Let's say you're struggling with the teeth. I know in my family, periodontal disease, it just runs in the family. Does it help when it gets to a point when it's better to get rid of the teeth than to go to the implants?
Sometimes it is. If you have chronic infection, and that infection is making it difficult for you to control your blood sugar, sometimes it's better to remove that tooth than to struggle to keep it and makes it, impacts your health.
I noticed, being the type 1 diabetic, when I have a swelling in the mouth, like you say, it just pops up out of the blue, the sugars go crazy.
And right.
Never low, always high. I mean high, 200-300% bumped.
Right.
That's just the nature of the beast.
It's any kind of infection in your body anywhere is going to do that. So,
I think it kills me being the diabetic for as long as I am that insurance doesn't cover as much as I'd like. It seems everything walks in step with your oral health. I can't imagine that you're healthy without having a completely healthy mouth.
Right. And it's unfortunate that dental insurance and medical insurance don't get together to try to help people be generally better, in better health.
In the future. In the future. Dobie?
That's why people have candy commercials on and all the stuff you're not supposed to eat. There's commercials on there, so it reminds you to eat what you're not supposed to eat. It does remind you, brush, like you said, floss.
And toss
scrub.
Your toothbrush away. Boil it, Lordy. Let's give out some addresses for a Northwestern Dental Group.
My location is 355 South Greenleaf in Park City, Illinois. We're on Milwaukee Avenue in Niles. And in Arlington Heights, I'm not sure the exact address.
Google. It'll get there.
We have a great website, Northwestern Dental Group Implants.com.
Beautiful. Susan Sullivan, thank you so much for coming out and dealing with us. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me in.
I will see you in 3 months. Maybe 4.
Don't forget your complimentary bag of peanut brittle for being on the Diabetic Show.
Again, I didn't get any peanut brittle.
If you would like to contact Mark or myself, please do so via our website. We'd love to talk to you. If you have any questions, any subjects you'd like for future shows, we are absolutely here for you. It's Mark, M-A-R-K, at the Diabetic Show.
Dobie, at the Diabetic Show, and thediabeticshow.com.
We are here for you.
Thank you, Troy McDonald, and thanks for listening. We'll talk
next time.